Good morning, sir. What is your name, sir?
Good morning. Torrance Victor.
Okay, sir. Mr. Torrance Victor, if you can hold on one moment, the Honorable Mr. Rick is going to conduct your hearing, and I do want to get, see if I get your doctor on the phone so that we can get him, because he may not be available all morning. So let me see if I can get him, Honorable Mr. Torrance, and then I'll
thank
get
you,
over
sir.
To you, sir.
Thank you.
Is understanding that you were going to participate on the hearing for Mr. Victor Torres this morning. So we'll begin that hearing now. So the Honorable Mr. Rick Hernandez will conduct the hearing. He will be the lead, so he will call on you shortly, sir. Because I know that you know our business schedule.
I'll be on hold until then.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Dr. McDowell, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
I just want to make sure that we're clear. So you're just going to have us mute or something while we continue the hearing?
Yes, I'm actually on another call that was pre-scheduled. I'm just going to give them a heads up that I'll probably have to adjourn that meeting and to join this one. So this is if you give me a couple of, like a minute or two, I'll be back on the line. And I'll still have you on speakerphone so I can hear you.
Yes, we're just going to continue. We're going to begin the hearing with Mr. Torres. Right now, so you will have a little bit of leeway, but when the time comes, we'll be asking you questions, okay, sir?
No problem.
Thank you, doctor.
So I'm gonna hold now, you're saying that it's going to be in a couple of minutes?
Yes, when we can get started, and it sounds like that if you need to make some transition with your phone call, but...
Okay, good, fine, thank you, I got it. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, sir, Mr. Torres, can you hear me clearly?
Yes, I can.
Can you state your full name and ADC number for the record?
Torres Victor, ADC 064997.
Thank you, sir. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a phase 2 imminent danger of death commutation here. I'd like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing with you today. You can see on your video conference screen, I'll start with the far right side from where I'm sitting. We have the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson. We have the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. At the center of the bench is our esteemed board chairman, Dr. C.T. Wright. Next to me is the Honorable Mr. David Neal. And my name is Louis Quindones. I'll be serving as the panel lead for this hearing. Now again, can you hear me clearly?
Yes, I can.
Thank you. I will begin this hearing with a summary. Mr. Victor Torres is 49 years old. Again, is that correct, sir?
Yes, it is.
I'll be asking you a few questions for the first half of my summary, just to make sure that I'm clear on your sentence and a little bit of your criminal history. But we have you serving a four-year sentence for theft, a Class 3 felony. Should be noted that you recently completed a concurrent 20-year sentence for crimes committed on April 5th, 2001, to include disorderly conduct, flight from a law enforcement vehicle, and misconduct involving a weapon, all committed with 3 prior convictions. And while what looks to be It looks like that you were an absconder from probation at that time. Is that correct, Mr. Torres?
Yes.
Okay. It should also be noted that your case was appealed and upheld in 2008. You have a lengthy criminal history, including but not limited to 5 felony convictions, including burglary, sale of a narcotic drug, fleeing from a law enforcement vehicle, resisting arrest, and probation violations. For the sake of this hearing, I recognize that it seems that the crimes that you've been serving prison sentences for are a little bit out of order, probably because of a probation violation. The theft charge from cause number CR92-10210, quick summary, on December 10, 1992, officers responded to the area of 900 West Pima when there were shots fired in the area. As they turned to Cocopa Street, they observed a blue vehicle stopped in the middle of the street, facing away from them. After the officers used their spotlight on the vehicle, the driver, that is Mr. Torres, turned the vehicle around and faced towards them. An officer attempted to contact you, but as he was doing so, you began driving very erratically backwards and struck a parked vehicle. After you struck the car, you spun out in the middle of the road and came to a stop. You did not comply with the officer's orders to exit the car and had to be physically extracted from it. During the investigation, officers determined that the vehicle was stolen and found numerous items of stolen property throughout the vehicle. Sir, are we talking about the same case? This is the case that you're currently serving right now?
Yes, sir.
Okay, just want to make sure that I'm correct on that. Now, regarding your imminent danger of death commutation application, you're asking for time served. According to the Arizona Department of Corrections time computation, you have an early release credit date of March 9, 2021. Should commutation be granted, your release would be immediate. The purpose of your request for commutation, is based on your diagnosis of advanced liver disease associated with hepatitis C. Once again, Mr. Torres, is that correct?
It is cirrhosis.
Okay, so...
Yes.
I'll ask for the doctor's confirmation on that, but I certainly understand. And am I correct that there's hepatitis C associated with your disease?
There was, yes.
There was or there is?
There was. They established that I did have it, and they had to give me some pills, and I took them for 6 months, and then I had to take it away because it was killing me quicker.
Okay.
Okay.
No problem, sir. I didn't mean to cut you off. I was just trying to understand your illness.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir. Per the Arizona Department of Corrections IDD report, your life expectancy has been shortened. But again, according to that document, you do have a life expectancy, at least at the time of the writing of that document, of over 4 months.
They weren't too sure. They just told me now that they can't help me no more. They gave me 4 transfusions and said that, and I went up 3 times since then. I ended up back in the hospital 3 times because I keep falling out, and they just say they can't help me no more.
Okay, sir. I'll ask you some more questions here in a second, but I'll continue with the summary. It looks like that you've have a history of discipline, including past periods of incarceration from 1988 through 2010, with your last major return to the security device, but that's been 8 years. This is your 10th time before the board, although 6 appearances for previous periods of incarceration, which included the period of home arrest and a later revocation in the year 2000, and 3 faithful interrogation hearings which were not granted. Looks like the last was on November 29, 2016. I will ask you, why did you pursue phase 1 commutation hearings during that time, sir? Why did you apply for those?
Because they had told me that I had this in 2014, that I come across this disease, and told me that I was in, I was on stage 4 or cirrhosis, and I was headed towards stage 4.
Okay. It looks like that you've had some programming inside the Department of Corrections. Is that correct, sir?
Yes, sir.
And as I stated, it looks like that your last discipline was in 2010. Is that correct?
Yes. There was a light shirt put over a light, and they ticketed me and my celly. Because, you know, you can't sleep in the light and it's pointing directly to it.
This type of hearing is pretty specific, meaning that it is specifically for imminent danger of death. Often at these hearings, we're looking at whether or not an individual believes that their prison sentence was excessive. I believe that we don't have to get into details. I will say that it looks like that you had a pretty considerable criminal history leading up to your last incarceration, with a 20-year prison sentence and this tale of 4 more years for theft, plus some past periods of incarceration. So how have you changed since you've been inside the prison system personally, aside from struggling with this illness?
I started rehabilitating myself, and first of all, and taking in AAs and going through the programs, and then not getting tickets was a big help to me. And then starting to, how do I attack things when it's confronted again? So I took conflict of interest, and I took something that would all the schooling that they had possible for us to take, and which was all carpentries and blueprint and electrical, and I started seeing life at a different point of view, and my history shows that the first half, I was always getting tickets and stuff, and then from then, I just get no tickets. Actually, it's from 2003, and it had been for that 2010 ticket, it would go back almost 17 years. And I believe that right there alone shows that once you can control yourself, then you can go on to judge the next situations, you know. And so I took the conflict of interest and I passed that and everything, and I did it by educating myself in the things that are expected from a normal person. And I got my own personal religion behind me, you know, which I am a Christian and been a Christian. And so I just put everything together and I see my family change from not coming to see me to coming to see me every week, because they said, we just gonna see the same old guy. But now that I've turned my life around, and then they started enjoying my company and what I bring to the table as far as encouragement and stuff like that, and it's been helpful.
Sir, I'm hoping you'll just help me understand this. This theft charge that you're in prison for right now predated the longer sentence that began in 2001, but it looks like in between you also had a conviction in 1999. So help me understand, was this theft charge associated with narcotics violation from back in 1992? Like, did you receive a sentence and then a probation, or what happened?
No, in 1992, I was going to take my fiance out to eat, and I parked right there by my dad's, and I heard some shooting. No, I went by my dad's, which was on 7th Avenue in Cocoa Park. I heard some shooting, and I thought, is my dad okay? That's the first thing I thought about. So I parked off to the side, but yet I was still in the street a little bit. Well, when the officer came behind me, as officers were called and drawn to this spot right here, and they come to my, they see my car out. So they said, hey, get out of the car. And I said, for what? I ain't did nothing. I was taking a remote, my remote control, my dad, his remote control. And upon all that, they looked in the trunk, they seen a computer, and they never gave me a ticket or nothing. And then I went to the hospital, they broke my jaw in 3 places. And when I came out of there, I went on and just fine and everything. And then that came up, and I was charged with it.
In 1999 or 2001?
In 92. Later on that year in October, I was charged with it. Because it happened like in the middle, and then later on that year, they pulled charges on me on it.
Okay, let's talk about your health a little bit. Should this board vote to recommend a commutation, because you, as you may know, it's the governor's decision, all we can do is vote to recommend it. If we recommend an imminent danger of death commutation, what are your plans? How will you live outside of the prison system?
I got a sister that comes up every week, and she stays in Paradise Valley now, and I got another sister that owns her own home, but I'm going to Paradise. with my sister, and she says she's gonna, she already got some room, a restroom, because I have to use the toilet a lot too, and she's got a restroom and everything right there in her house. Everything is attached together. It's a pretty good size one. And she said she'll take me and put me on a list. That's what the whole thing is, to try to make a transplant list.
Okay, put you on a list for a transplant.
Yeah.
And I noticed some individuals came in. Do we have any support for Mr. Torres in the room right now? And are you that sister?
One of the sisters.
Okay. Do either of you plan on speaking on behalf of Mr. Torres today?
We didn't know
who to
speak or not.
Okay. But when it comes time, I'll ask you if you want to. We're often given a list of who's going to be visiting, and it looks like that you showed up right at the beginning of the hearing, so certainly you'll be given that opportunity. And perhaps you'll be able to explain a little bit more. Okay, thank you. Okay, so Mr. Torres, the sister who you prefer to live with is not in this room today then, is that correct?
Yes, she and my other sister and my mom, they unfortunately had work meetings too at the same time, and so they could not make it to that one. So my sister came with a friend that is a very has been encouraged, and he's got a lot of progression out there.
All right, so was I correct when you said that the sister's not here is going to help you apply to get on the list for liver transplant? Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
She made all the other meetings, but this one, she couldn't make one, this one, so we sent my little sister.
Okay, thank you very much. And in the case that I have to make documentation or make a recommendation, sir, what is the name of your sister and where does she live?
Josephine Gutierrez.
It's Gutierrez?
Gutierrez. Yeah.
Gutierrez. I'll ask you.
Yeah.
If you can spell it, sir.
G-O-R-T-A-Z. R-E-Z. There you go. Sorry about that.
It's Gutierrez? Sir, we do have to make some hard decisions on behalf of the people of Arizona. So I ask this respectfully, because we're careful when it comes to prison politics. It looks like that you had some information and aims about some association with an STG. If you know the... did you have an association with one of the gangs inside the prison system?
No, they had my name on there. They had the people that have the INI here. They say they had my name on a piece of paper, but I never had no affiliation here or ever been belonging to a gang ever. And no time.
Thank you, sir. And again, we're careful about that question because of security, your security, A, and B, even if someone does write that information down, it does not necessarily mean to me as an individual board member that that is some official standing. We don't know that. But yet, it is kind of important to know that if anyone's had ongoing problems inside prison, because sometimes they can be pretty serious. So it would be irresponsible for me to ignore that question. So thank you for giving us that answer.
Yes, sir.
Right now, I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you.
Okay.
Fellow board members. Okay, we have any questions at this point from fellow board members? I think what I'll do in this order is we'll talk to your attending physician or the individual who's representing your medical case before the board, and then we'll see if any of your supporters want to speak to the board, and then after that we'll come to you for any final statements that you have to make. Okay, Mr. Torres?
Okay, sir.
Thank you, sir. Is Dr. McDowell still on the phone?
I'm here.
Oh, thank you, sir. Are you available to speak to the board now?
Yes, I am.
Thank you very much.
No problem.
Again, I recognize that you stated that you had some, a little bit of juggling, so to speak, you had to do with some other contacts, but I'm going to just ask you some questions about this case, especially because if it comes to us making a recommendation, we have to have a certain amount of justification. So I'll begin by asking, Doctor, if you can state your name for the record.
My name is Iodage, A-Y-O, D as in David, E as in elephant, J-I, Liddell, L-A-D-E-L-E.
And I have a letter here from Horizon, so am I correct that you work for Horizon Health?
Yes, I'm the regional medical director for Horizon, that's correct.
And if you'll also help me with the proper language, are you his physician or do you represent his medical case? What is your role?
So my role is I manage all of the providers in the clinical operations for the state, so I am a physician as well as an administrator, so I have both dual roles in this contract with the Department of Correction.
And have you seen Mr. Torres personally?
No, I have not.
Is there a physician from under your supervision that has seen him?
Yes.
Okay. It might help us if we knew who his attending physician was.
Well, here's the process with the Department of Correction.
Yes, sir.
Unlike the community, they may see multiple providers.
Okay.
So I can tell you as I'm going through his medical chart, he probably has seen 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different providers. At least since January 31st, 2018.
Okay, I'll just make that notation. And we do have this letter. We recognize that it was written in August. So, again, if you can give us your prognosis, I think that's the right word.
That's the right word. You can correct
it. For Mr. Torres and what his status is.
All right, so as I noted in my letter, you know, as he's indicated with more testimony, he's a 49-year-old Latino male. He has a history of hepatitis C with cirrhosis. What's interesting is the fact that we followed his lab for hepatitis C. The concern is that it looks like the last lab, he's cleared the hepatitis C virus. However, he has moderate cirrhosis. He he has concerns with the history of the blood vessels in the esophagus being enlarged due to the disease process. He has probably been to the hospital 3 or 4 times with at least the last 5 months. His last hospitalization, he was seen at West Abrazo, Abrazo West Campus, in which it was August 31st, and he was discharged on September 8th. There were concerns where he, again, has a history of hepatitis B with cirrhosis. He had left-sided chest pain. He had shortness of breath. They actually, on one of his imaging studies, they found a suspicious lesion that could be associated with a cancer noted as hepatocarcinoma. So that was found on the right lower front side of the liver. As I mentioned, he was in the hospital for about 9 days, and he had a procedure done when they had to remove fluid from his abdomen. He has, with cirrhosis, you actually have sometimes a, and this is going to sound really weird, so I hope I'm using like layman terms, and if there's any questions, please let me know. But there's a term called portal hypertension, and hypertension, as we know, is high blood pressure. But individuals who have cirrhosis can actually have a higher blood pressure with some of the veins that connect the liver and some of the other organs in the body, specifically the spleen. And what it does is that it can cause an increase in the fluid in the abdomen, which in turn can cause shortness of breath. So unfortunately, with the liver, once cirrhosis starts, it's irreversible, and it actually damages the functioning or impairs some of the functioning of the liver to do a lot of its job. So for instance, I was going through this lab, so I did a thorough chart biopsy or review, and Mr. Torres' platelet count is in the 30 to 40,000 mark. The typical range for platelets, which helps us to stop bleeding, is usually between 140,000 and 400,000, so he's significantly low. What that would mean that he has a tendency to have prolonged bleeding, secondary to his low blood count. Also, my concern with him as well is that he has cirrhosis and he has liver failure. We use liver enzymes to really kind of detect how well the liver is functioning. Unfortunately, when the liver scars, that response or those liver enzymes don't necessarily tell us the picture anymore, so we look at other levels. And those levels that we're looking at are moderately high. So Mr. Torres will probably continue to have this issue. He is not a great candidate at this point for hepatitis C treatment. He will have complications of anemia or low blood count due to the cirrhosis of the liver. So he will be one that will be in and out of the hospital. And as his disease process continues, he will probably have to have fluid removed through procedures that typically you will see in the community occur in the ER versus having those scheduled. Does that help you paint a picture of his health care and his prognosis?
Yes, sir. And I recognize that there's a very direct question that is always associated with an IBD hearing, and that is the medical provider stating whether or not the inmate has a life expectancy of 4 months or less. So do you have an assessment?
Based upon his information and reviewing his hospital record, I cannot say that he has life expectancy of less than 4 months.
And so to be clear on that, you cannot say that he has
a I don't see anything in the medical chart that would express that he has life expectancy of less than 4 months. He will have complications with his continued cirrhosis, but I would not be able to say and a sworn testimony that he has less than 4 months to live based upon looking at his last hospitalization and looking at his medical encounters with the providers that have seen him in the last couple of months.
Thank you very much, Doctor. At this point, I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you.
Yes, Mr. Johnson.
Good afternoon, Doctor. I just had a question. I'm not quite sure. Did you say you had cleared hepatitis C?
And let me make sure, because you sound far away. I think you're asking for clarification of whether or not he's cleared hepatitis C. Is that accurate to say?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so one of the things that is not as common knowledge, hepatitis C, about 15 to 25% of individuals can actually clear the virus. And there are times where we, and that's the reason why we check the viral load. I will say, I think he's, the last time we checked was in November 2017, and he was considered non-detectable. However, that doesn't necessarily mean that he can't be reinfected or have complications from the hepatitis C virus while it was in his, the viral load was in his body that can cause cirrhosis. So despite not having signs that he has a detectable viral load, he, unfortunately, from the hospitalizations that you, that I noticed in his chart and reviewed those records, he definitely has moderate to severe cirrhosis that was probably secondary to hepatitis C. So that's one of the statistics that, unfortunately, I think a lot of people don't realize is that 15 to 25% can clear it, but we still like to look at the viral load, so he'll probably have another one, probably another couple weeks or so, to see whether or not he, his viral load has jumped up from last November.
Okay, so the letter said that he's not a candidate for hepatitis C treatment. Is that because he's
due to his cirrhosis?
Due to the cirrhosis?
Due to his cirrhosis. So the point of hepatitis C treatment, of course, is to rid the body of the virus. The problem is that what many people don't understand is that the cirrhosis that was caused by hepatitis C, the scarring, that's irreversible once it occurs. So unfortunately, I've treated patients here and in other states that had hepatitis C. We treated them and they unfortunately passed away, and it wasn't because, and we were able to detect that the virus was clear from the body. But unfortunately, the cirrhosis that had occurred through the years of having hepatitis C was the cause of their demise.
Okay, so doctor, could you tell me what end-stage liver disease is? Is that cancer, or what does that mean?
End-stage liver disease means that, again, is that your liver is not able to perform the function that it's designed to do. The liver is the largest internal organ in the body. And again, as I mentioned, the part that really, how can I say, I'm trying to use my term as much as possible, with cirrhosis, that's basically part of end-stage liver disease. The cirrhosis tissue, it actually blocks the blood flow that goes to the liver. So your liver is responsible for detoxifying certain drugs. Your liver is responsible for making certain blood cells, specifically platelets. Your liver actually detoxifies different agents outside of medications, alcohol, things of that nature. So when you have scarring or cirrhosis, you're basically in end-stage liver disease, and that unless the cure for that is a liver transplant, and they're very difficult to come by and even more difficult within the correctional system.
Okay, one more question that I have, Doctor.
No problem.
It's regarding your letter dated August 22nd of 2018. Next to the last paragraph, it says that it has not been determined that life expectancy of the patient is being less than 1 year. Is that still about the same?
I will say that part, I would say at this point it's undetermined, because if you remember a couple minutes ago, I said he had a hospitalization, approximately, I want to say, 9 days later, he was in the hospital for 9 days.
Okay.
So there were some concerns noted in that last hospitalization that really, the information that we didn't have before, as I mentioned, there was, and it was noted in the hospital record, that there was a suspicious lesion on the right lower lobe that was suspicious for neoplasia or malignancy, aka cancer. So that was not available during the time when I wrote that statement.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Not a problem.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Any further questions? Yes, Dr. Wright.
Yes, thank you so much, Doctor, for your time and all that you're doing for the state of Arizona.
No problem.
But I just want to kind of figure out in my mind, as a layperson, you indicated, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, that there were several doctors, physicians, who have treated him recently, over a period of time. I mean, not say recently, but over a period of time. During this period, is there regular discussions with family members, or family members aware of what's really going on, sir? Just as you're talking to us, is that the family members aware of what's going on, sir?
I'm not sure if that's the case. I would have to ask the site leadership team if they discussed the case. I haven't discussed any of the information with the family. I only I can go by is I look at the progress notes or the encounter. So when a patient is actually discharged from the hospital, we typically will see them within 24 hours, depending upon the time that they are received back from the hospital. So September 10th, he saw a provider. They document the conversation and the dialogue that occurred. And then they typically go over the hospitalization, do a thorough physical exam, and determine the next step of management or any recommendations that were provided by the team that was at the hospital.
And but based on where we are at the moment, if through this whole process, because this is the beginning of a process, if the governor saw fit to grant commutation to him, what would be required of a family? I mean, he said that they have a room and they have a bathroom and all of that, which I think is expected these days. So what else would be expected of the family, that he would have to go to the doctor or so often, or what would?
I would say, looking at his history and my experience with patients with this disease process and with the level of cirrhosis that he has, I expect that his hospitalizations and or his medical care will increase considerably. Waiting for the workup for this suspicious lesion of hepatocarcinoma, he would probably want to pursue with the healthcare team, whether it's if you were on the outside, looking to involve himself in the transplant process, which is lengthy. They require a great support system. I will tell you, I've been in corrections for about 4 to 5 years in 2 different systems. The last system, actually, I managed the hospital, and I had a lot of hepatitis C patients. I find it very difficult to get a hospital team to invest in a patient who has a chance with a liver transplant to be placed on the list because of all of the restraints that they feel or perceive to be part of the transportation back and forth. Also, the environment that is perceived in correction. So it's very hard to convince the outside medical team, and usually these are academic centers that have a long list, and I find that the patient has better chances of getting that liver transplant or getting any type of transplant, for the most part, when they're separated from the state, and they demonstrate a good support system. So to answer your question, if he were to go down and fly and he happened to have the cancer that's associated with hepatitis, he will be thoroughly screened through their system, mental health wise, physical health wise, and it will be a process where he would have to demonstrate, along with his support system, that he will be able to meet the demand of a liver transplant if it's offered to him.
There was one other question, Doctor, and I apologize for
no problem.
Taking up your time, because I know you have other things to do. I don't want to take up your time. I guess what I'm trying to ask now is if, under ordinary circumstances, and I'm not necessarily talking about Mr. Torres now, but under ordinary circumstances, was one you met with AC because of drunk?
ADD or has had a person over?
Because of drug habits in the past or what? You know, we used to be said, you know, that, you know, if I drink a whole lot of alcohol, this might affect my liver. Is that still the case, or is it something far more complicated than that these days, sir?
I would say anything that can aggravate or make the liver work harder, alcohol is one, but also Tylenol is another. Remember I mentioned there are a lot of medications that we take over the counter that the liver or the kidney has to metabolize or to break down to remove it out of your body. The liver is a organ that does a lot of that. So alcohol is one thing, but there are many other offending agents that are over-the-counter medications that can cause that.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Doctor. Thank you.
No problem.
Thank you, Doctor. Any further questions from the board members? Okay. Mr. Torres, you invited a few people in the room, so I'm going to ask if either of you wish to address the board.
May I be excused?
Yes, sir. Thank you so very much. We know how busy you are, so we'll talk to you next time, sir. Thanks again,
no
sir.
Problem. Thank you, Doctor,
and thank you for your time, sir.
No problem. Take care. Bye.
I'm sorry. What was that?
Hold on 1 second, sir. One of your family members is going to approach the podium.
Okay.
And if you can state your name.
Michelle Estrada.
Michelle
Estrada, E-S-T-R-A-D-A.
And I will ask you before you get started too, just because I want to be clear on that. Mr. Torres has talked about Josephine, is that right?
My others.
And can you spell your last name again?
G-O-R-T-A-R-E-Z.
And again, just for the sake of documentation, do you have an address for her? Do you know if that's where he plans on living?
Yeah, he's going to live there. Her goal is to get him to hospice.
Okay.
So we don't know, like, after that, but his residence would be in Paradise Valley, his sister.
And that is in the record. The address in Paradise Valley is listed.
Thank you, sir.
And address, let me put it that way. And address is listed in Paradise Valley.
Thank you, sir. It's good to have that confirmation because she can't be here today, so.
Yeah, she had other discussions.
Okay. Again, I recommend that you didn't plan on speaking before the board today, but is there anything you'd like to share with us about this case?
Just basically, if you would, on behalf of my brother and family, take his medical into consideration. However, his health is rapidly declining. And as you heard the doctor, there's kind of not really an end date. I mean, I visit him on Sunday, and he was completely different on Tuesday. So I'm just concerned that any type of little illness will make it bigger and faster, given where he's at. And I would just like to say he can come home and make him comfortable until then.
Did you have a relationship? This is your brother, right?
Yes.
Did you have a relationship with him before he went into the prison system?
Yes.
And are parents still alive?
My handwritten letters.
See if my fellow board members have any questions for me. Are there any questions? Okay, well, I appreciate you appearing before the board.
Thank you.
And thank you for your time, and we'll just continue the hearing, and we should be doing it fairly quick. Thank you. And I'll ask again, just for the sake of the integrity of this hearing, does anyone else want to speak on behalf of Mr. Torres?
Feel the best. I probably have to put this the address. It's just a Paradise Valley address, so that you have it for your reference.
Just 1 second, sir. Yes. Thank you, sir. Yes, if you can say your name, sir.
Yes, my name is Mike Montanillo. I am a very good friend of Mr. Torres and the family. I just ask that you guys take into very much consideration of his illness and his femency. Allow him to spend his last days with his family and loved ones. I'm a very good support. I have my own company. I will be there to help him in any which way, shape, or form with him. I and my wife are there for the family to help and support him in any way, to help him to whatever they may need, and just ask that you guys allow this man to be reunited with his family and his harsh time, you know, to spend the days with. And I thank you guys.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Any questions from the board? Okay, Mr. Torres, if you can hear us, we're getting very close to the end of your hearing. Is there a final statement you would like to make to the board before we go into discussion? We only ask that you don't repeat anything that you've already told us, but this is your hearing. So is there anything else that you feel is important for us to know or understand before we deliberate?
I just want to say that I have some loved ones out there, and I've been a sober man for 17, 18 years. So I've got to see that part and of life. And I feel I can get out there and do whatever I have to do and spend time with my nieces and nephews and sisters and brothers and my family, my loved ones, as long as I can. And with that, I just thank you guys for this hearing, and ask you all to vote on my behalf, and I appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Torres. The board will be going into discussion now. It may sound like that we're speaking with you directly, but it is the board discussing the case amongst itself before we come to our individual votes under the open meeting laws of Arizona for this phase two in the danger of death hearing. So again, we will come back to you shortly with our decision, okay, sir?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir. The board is now in discussion. Fellow board members, I want to begin by saying that I certainly feel for Mr. Torres. His medical condition is very real. He's been struggling with hepatitis C and now cirrhosis. It seems that he has been in and out of the healthcare system since he's been inside the Department of Corrections. And we received a pretty detailed prognosis from Dr., let me make sure I say it correctly, I believe it's Liddell. We gathered quite a bit of information. And also, we looked at Mr. Torres' history inside the Department of Corrections and his history of the criminal justice system, which resulted in him being in prison. I'll begin the discussion by stating that I certainly am not trying to be cold or hard-hearted. But we don't have a status stating that he has a life expectancy of 4 months or less. And unless I'm missing some discretion, I'm not quite seeing what I would determine as imminent danger of death. I certainly recognize that he is struggling with a very serious health condition that is threatening to shorten his life. But I am not firm on that position. I think that's where we'll begin the discussion. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Mr. Quinones. I agree with you. I certainly feel for him having to face these illnesses, because they don't sound, it sounds very discouraging to hear that. But I believe one of our standards is that we have to have a statement from the medical provider that the person has 4 months or less to live, and I haven't heard that today, so.
Thank you, Ms. Rittenhouse. And again, that's why I began with, certainly I don't think, I can't speak for everyone, but it's certainly not, it's not a clear-hearted position, but we just don't have that firm 4 months or less, but I will certainly continue the discussion.
I'm at the same stage. There are some issues. The doctor's statement was that he can't say that he has a life expectancy of less than 4 months. And that's the issue. He says that there would be, you know, some uncomfort and some treatment that he has to receive, but he can't say that he has to be there less than 4 months. And then I asked about, in the letter that he wrote on August 22nd, he said that he couldn't say that he had less than a year. So, with the new information that came up because of the update from the September 14th treatment and September 8th when he was hospitalized, that those were his last treatments, and they still can't say that it's lasted 4 months, but there will be some discomfort and hospitalization that may be required.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. And again, I will say, because the discussion is open, that it's certainly not my position that I'm just hoping for him to be down to the last 4 months. We hope that he turns the corner on his illness, but we do have to meet a standard for the executive branch, and I will continue the discussion. Any further statements? Doctor?
I agree.
Then we're going to make a motion, and that is regarding all the information we've gathered today for Mr. Victor Torres, ADC number 064997. Just double checking on that number. My motion is to not recommend to the governor. And I think the language is quite simple, so I think my motion is not to recommend to the governor.
I'll second.
Agree.
It was seconded by Ms. Rittenhouse, agreed upon, and I'm just going by the order by Dr. Wright, Mr. Johnson, and Mr. Neal. And I'll double check the language because it's pretty limited. Again, it was unanimous not to recommend to the governor an imminent danger of death commutation for Mr. Victor Torres, ADC number 064997. Mr. Torres, did you hear a discussion in our decision?
Yes, I did, sir.
Well, we want to thank you for appearing for the board today. As I stated more than once, and I will say this as one board member, certainly it is not my position to be cold or hard-hearted about your health condition, but we do have a standard to meet for the executive branch in making this recommendation to the governor's office. So we hope that you continue to receive consistent care We recognize that I mentioned at least the early release credit date, but that you discussed, just to make sure here that your release dates that are lined up with the Department of Corrections through Ames. If you want to be firm on those dates, and again, not to be cold, but if your condition changes, certainly you can reapply before this board again. Is there anything else that any fellow board members wish to ask? Okay, Mr. Torres, this will bring our hearing to a close, and we want to thank you again for appearing before the board today.
All right, thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.